Second Timothy chapter chapter 3. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get right to it. Our Father, thank you, Lord, so much for the study this afternoon. We pray for your leadership. We pray for your help. And Father, we realize that without you, we can do nothing. We ask, Father, for your presence. Help us to be reminded again about the importance of the Word of God and how we need to be in it and think about it, meditate on it, dwell on it, memorize it, all these wonderful things to help us in our Christian lives. And I pray, Father, your blessing be upon our study, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So notice, if you would, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll pick it up here in verse 14. The Bible says, "But continue thou in the things thou hast learned and have been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." And then go back to chapter 2, if you would, in verse 15. Chapter 2, the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." All right, thank you. You may be seated. So we find that the first birth brings us into the physical world. The second birth brings us into the spiritual world. And it's very important that a person is born again, and those who have never been regenerated are still lost in trespasses and sins. Now, the soul of man is a real person. We're made of a spirit, soul, and body. And so it's not the body. The body is just the outward, the flesh in that sense, and but the spirit and the soul of man makes up the real person, and it's very important to understand that. So we find here that it's when we make a decision, the Bible says that the mind, the soul, mind of man is found in the bowels of his emotions. That's where the decisions are made. And it's not up in your brain that holds all the information, but it's made in your soul, the real you, the mind, the seat of emotions. And so it's all the same. Now, the soul is not not only the seat of intellect, but also the will and the emotions. So when we think and decide in our soul, it is where we, where the emotions and feelings come forth from. So consider our Lord preached throughout his ministry, and I want you to think about the times that he had to correct people about their wrong thinking. And I just want to show this to you for a little bit, and then we'll get into our study. So notice with me, and we'll do a little Bible study here. Let's go to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 17, and we'll pick it up there. Matthew 5, verse 17, and the Bible says, verse 17, "Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill." So they were thinking that Jesus came to destroy the law or the prophets, but he didn't do that. He came to fulfill, so they were thinking wrong. Notice chapter 6, verse 7, please. Chapter 6, verse 7. The Bible tells us, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Lord, which is in secret. And the Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly." Well, what were the Pharisees doing? They were going out in public. They were standing on the corners. They wanted people to notice them. The Lord said, "That look, go hide in your closet. Go get disappear. You pray privately, I'm going to bless you openly." Notice chapter 9, verse 4, please. Chapter 9, verse 4. And the Bible tells us, "In Jesus, knowing their thoughts, and wherefore think ye evil in your hearts. So they were thinking evil in their hearts, and Jesus knew it. He knew what they were doing. Notice in chapter 10, verse 34. Chapter 10, verse 34. All right. And verse 34 tells us, think not I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. So again, the idea was they were thinking wrong. Chapter 22, verse 42 of Matthew. 22, verse 42. And notice the Bible says, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And they say unto him, the son of David. So again, they were wrong in their thinking about the Lord. That's not what I wanted. Verse 34 is what I wanted. Right here. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered themselves together. So again, there were differences, and Jesus spoke the truth. So it caused a division. And then we pick up here in chapter 24 and verse 44. Chapter 24, verse 44. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man. They weren't thinking right about the Lord's return. Notice, if you would, chapter 13 of Luke. Luke chapter 13. Let's turn there, please. Luke 13. And we'll pick up here in verse 1. They were present at that season, some that told him of the Galilean whose blood Pilate had mingled in their sacrifice. And Jesus answered, said to them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffer such things? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, and think ye that they were sinners above all men that were in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you all likewise perish. So they were not thinking about the Lord. They're not thinking right about life. They're saying, oh, what did those people do? Hey, death comes at all times, beloved. All people. You know, if you're good, you don't live a long life. There's some of the most rotten people in the world have lived a long life. You Hefner. What a filthy man he was. And he lived a long life. So, again, the idea that, you know, just because bad things happen doesn't mean that they were bad people in that sense. And then chapter 5 of John, and it's important to think right about life. John 5, verse 39. The Bible tells us here, verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which speak of me. So they were thinking wrong about salvation, the importance of thinking right about salvation. Another verse, 45, please. The same chapter. Do not think that I will accuse you at the to the Father. That there is one that accuses you, even Moses, whom you trust. So again, chapter 3 of John, chapter 3, and verse 17, the Bible says, for God sent not a son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So again, they were not thinking right about salvation. God wants you to be saved. God is on your side, if I can say it that way. You need to be born again, but God wants you to be saved. He loves you. Notice John 16, please. John 16. And notice verse 2 and 3. And the Bible tells us here, they shall put you out of the synagogue, yea, and the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. So again, the idea about doing God's will, I mean, think about Muslims. Here, what do they do? I'm doing this for Allah. I want to kill the Christians. I want to kill Jews. And again, you know, that's wrong thinking. And then chapter 12 of Romans, and verse 3, please. And the Bible tells us here, chapter 12, verse 3, where the Bible says, and for I say through the grace given to me, to think, every man that among you that not to think of himself more highly than we ought to think, but we think to think soberly, according to God hath dealt every man the measure of faith. So again, there's just think about that short list of all those subject matters that people are thinking wrong about. And Jesus came to correct and also to give us good doctrine. Now, this also, this is also the spiritual battle that takes place. We can call this our spiritual battlefield. The Bible tells in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if a person's thinking with pride or arrogance, hey, it's not good. We want to think soberly about ourselves. We want to be humble about ourselves. So again, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So this is why it's imperative to think right. Our Lord wants us to think right. Most people don't think right. And again, I know I've repeated that throughout our series, but the idea, when you think about 6 billion people in the world, most people don't think right. Adam and Eve, before sin, was in perfect harmony with the Lord, and after sin, they were fearful, deceitful, dishonest, selfish, proud, blaming others for their sin. It was only gotten worse since the fall of man. So let's go back to our text in 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And notice, if you would, about God's word. So 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And first of all, it's profitable for what? For doctrine. It tells us what to believe. It's almost as if, you know, you have God's word and doctrine. No, they're both the same. It tells exactly what we're to believe in the word of God. And it's important to know to believe. What to believe about salvation. What's the problem? Well, you have all these religions in the world. The problem is they don't follow the Bible. They don't listen to what the word of God has to say. And that's very important. It tells you what you believe about the church, about prophecy, about the ordinance, and all these different things, about missions and so on. And then he tells us, not a profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He can be complete. That's what God wanted. So let's look at what the Word of God offers to us. The Word of God, first of all, is infallible. Meaning it's perfect. Everything will come to pass exactly the way God said it. There have been no hiccups, no mistakes in the Bible. Everything that has happened, which God predicted, came to pass. And everything that God has foretold is going to happen, come to pass. The Word of God is infallible. And second of all, it's inerrant. It's without error. It's incapable of error. And notice, if you would, it's inspired. Third of all, 2 Peter chapter 1, please. 2 Peter chapter 1, and notice verse 21, where the Bible tells us, for the prophets came not in old time by the will of man, but a holy men of God spake, as they are moved by the Holy Ghost. So again, the idea is that God spake the word, it was inspired, it was authored by God, and God said the word of God's not open to private interpretation. It's like this. The famous one is Jesus said, Jesus said, the Catholics, the church is built on Peter. Well, it's not built on Peter. It's built on Christ. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So what do you do? Instead of just taking that verse and, trying to interpret it your way, why don't you look from the Bible and say, is Peter the rock? Or is Christ the rock? Well, Peter is known as a stone, a small stone, a pebble. And Jesus is known as a massive rock, something that you could build a great building on, a great foundation with. So Christ is that rock. He's both in the Old Testament and New Testament, he's called over and over again, he's the rock. It's the rock of my salvation. He's that rock, that foundation that the church is built upon. It's not built upon Peter. So it's very important that we interpret just right. Now, God's work on the human author so that God's work on the human author so that You know, Liz, I appreciate you help me with this. You write these things out, and I don't know what in the world you're saying. So God's work on the human author so that, oh, I know. Yeah, here we go. Use this own individual personality that they compounded completed without error. And his revelation to man is the word of the original autographs. So God took his word, took individual that were all so different, 40-something writers to pen down the word of God, and he used them to and their personalities to pen down the word of God, and yet God completed his word and it was perfect. And so this is very important, beloved, that we have an understanding that God's word is more. Well, listen to what Jesus said, John 4:4, man shall not eat and live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. God wants us to base everything upon the word of God. What does the Bible say? And what does the Bible say? And by doing so, you're renewing your mind. Now, why do we need to renew our mind? Because by nature, we're crooked. Our hearts are deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. That's what God says about us. Isaiah said, from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, we're corrupt. And so we need to renew our minds. We need to be forced to think right. That's why we come to preach. Amen? Think right. That's why it's important to read the Bible at home every day. Get in the book. Study it, memorize it, meditate. So we see that it's invaluable, it's profitable. This never, this means beneficial, it's useful, it's full of profit. Is for salvation, James 1:18, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth. In Psalm 119, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise or simple. When you consider life, look at 1 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4. And the Bible says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now notice what God's word says here, beloved. That God's word tells us that he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's so important, beloved. If you're going to enter into life, you want to know what the Bible says. You want to have an understanding, a grasp of it. You want to know not only doctrine, but you want to know individual verses. Because this pertains to life and godliness. And it's so important that we put it in our lives, that we think about it, we meditate on it, we memorize it. Again and again and again. Why? Because it's something that pertains to life. Now, I tell you, when I first got saved, I couldn't get enough of the Bible. I mean, I just studied it, and read it, and meditated on it, memorized it, and all that. And I've been doing that for 41 years, beloved. And my life, in many ways, has been transformed, has been renewed by the memorization, the study of the Word of God. And I tell you, it comes natural for me when, you know, something comes up. I say, well, this is what the Bible says. You know, this is how we think right. This is the problem that we're having. This is the solution. And it's all based on the Word of God. That's what we need to do. And so we see that it's for not only salvation, it's for our lives, but it also includes indoctrination. Now, it's really funny. People think, oh, you're not going to indoctrinate me. If this is a book you're going to follow, you're going to be indoctrinated.
That's right.
Right? But it's good. It's not indoctrinated by some religion, but rather by the Word of God. You want to be indoctrinated. You know, what does the Bible say? So in Romans 2, verse 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of thine. Ephesians 5, 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding, that's indoctrination, what the will of the Lord is. So again, you want to know what is God's will? What is God's will for my life? What does God want me to do? Young people, I tell you, you're going to be seeking God's will for your life. Why get off on the wrong tangent somewhere and go off and study and all this and then realize that's not what God wanted me to do? I'm going to do this. What's the point? What's the point? And so easy to be saved. You know, people say it's hard. It's easy to be saved. Now, the human heart makes it difficult. But it's easy. What did Jesus say? You've got a call. You've got to receive the gift of eternal life. It's not hard. You got to receive it. What makes it difficult is a pride, stubbornness, my will, all these different things. But that's not from God's side. God's side is whosoever will may come. Amen? So we find here just some good thoughts about God's word. So let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And notice verse 16. And the first thing we see is God's word enlightens our thinking. You know, this is really good here, beloved. Notice verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Notice the study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So it's so important, beloved, to study the word of God, to break it down, to know what it is, what Paul said, what Peter said, what Jesus said, James. What is God saying to me? How is God speaking to my heart? What does God want from my life? And that's good, because what that does, it enlightens our thinking. Think about this. It enlightens us about the person of God. So you want to ask the question, who's God? That's what I love about that ultimate question. Well, the first section, it deals with who God is. To the Muslim, he's Allah. To a God who hates Jews and Christians. To the Hindu, there's 20-something thousand gods and goddesses. To the Roman and Romanists, they're the God who wants people to earn salvation, a system of sacraments. The Bible-believing Christian is has a God who is living, triune, and true. He loves a sinner so much that he gave his son to die for him. You don't hear that anywhere else but by a Bible believer, by someone who knows about God, that God loves us so much. What is he? He sent his son to die for us. To die. He didn't condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God is holy, which is very important. He's eternal. He's immutable. He's sovereign. He's omnipotent. He's almighty God. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's wrathful. He's the truth. He's a loving God. He's gracious God, merciful, faithful. But let me, I have to tell you that God, I tell you, I could stand here and talk about God all day just on this subject of his faithfulness. God's a faithful God. He promised to keep his word. He's going to keep it perfectly. He's long-suffering. God is good. God's benevolent. You cannot know God apart from his written revelation. And we know that God is by creation, by the heavens. To know God personally, we must know God and his word. So we see here, it's transforming our minds. And that's what the word of God does. It changes our thinking about, first of all, about who God is. And may I say this? I think it's so important. There's good books out there. There's Tozer on the attributes of God. There's also Pink. And I know Pink's a Calvinist, and, you know, just look past that. But I'm telling you, the things he said about who God is wonderful. Tozer is wonderful. And then you got the Word of God. Look at verses on God being the Almighty. God being the all-knowing, God being the ever-present God. I mean, you talk about eternal security, you talk about blessing your life, about God keeping his promises and so on. So second of all, the Word of God enlightens us about the promises of God. Notice Romans chapter 4, verse 21, please. Romans chapter 4, verse 21. And the Bible tells us in verse 21, and being fully persuaded that he had promised, he was able also to perform. That was Abraham. Abraham was fully persuaded. He staggered not at the promise of God. He believed that if he offered his son up to God, that God would raise him from the dead. Stagger not. I don't know if I could do that. But maybe if I was given a promise directly from God, I'd do it. That'd be a hard one for me. But he staggered not. He knew he could trust God. God had been so faithful to Abraham. So there are thousands of promises which God's word and every person who's a child of God rest on God's holiness. That God is perfect. God is the truth. That he cannot lie. And God does everything to his glory. That's so important, beloved. The glory of God. When it comes to God's word, it is exalted above his name. Notice Psalm 138, verse 2. His name is exalted above all names. Notice Psalm 38 and verse 2. And the Bible tells us here, I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name and thy loving kindness for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So think about that, his word. Now, beloved, this is the only time in life you can be able to study the word of God. You need to get in the book. You want to have a transformed life? You want to grow in the Lord? You want to become what God wants you to be? Get in the book. The Bible tells us, where would we be without God's promises? It'll leave the idea, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Bible tells us that Paul knew, he knew the Lord. He said, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, for I know whom I have believed. He knew. He wasn't saying I just believe in God. He knew God. He met with God every morning. He studied God's word. He knew the Lord. That's so important. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, please. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. A great verse of scripture tells us that God cannot lie. And the Bible tells us here in Titus. I'm so sorry. Titus chapter 2. And Titus chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says, in the hope of eternal life, expecting eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God promises. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. 1 Peter 4, verse 19, please. And the Bible tells us here in verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of his souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. I was telling Frank and Randy before at the service this afternoon, I remember the first time Nathaniel called me and God, and he had gotten threats. A Muslim, I'm going to come and kill you. I'm going to, take your wife from you, whatever the thing is. And he said, Pastor, I mean, he was shaking. So I said, well, what are you going to do, Nathaniel? I said, if God decides to take your life, you're going to have to go. I mean, what's the choice? I said, God's sovereign. I said, doesn't matter what man will threaten you with. God is sovereign. He's going to take care of you. And if he decides it's time to come home, you'll come home. That changed his life. He'll tell me every so often, yeah, I got this man calling me, and he's threatening me. I just hang up the phone. I wouldn't want to listen either. But the thought is this, is, you know, why subject yourself? It's the devil. And if Jimmy Wyatt winds up, you know, losing his life, so be it. But notice he didn't. And praise the Lord for a small amount in the bank account. That was a blessing. You know, so he lost a phone. But I think what God was teaching him is that I'm in control, Jim. I'm in charge. That goes to all of us. God is able. He's able. So he's faithful to us. Notice John chapter 8, please. The Gospel of John chapter 8. And notice two verses here. We'll go to verse 32. First of all, the Bible says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then verse 36, "If the Son therefore make you free, you shall be free indeed." Here's the bottom line. If you've been saved, God's going to make you free. You're not going to be subjecting yourself to the sins of this world. Now, I'm not saying there aren't struggles. I'm not saying there aren't temptations and so on. But when you're set free, brother, you're set free. Thank God for that. So again, it enlightens about the promise of God, and then enlightens us about the power of God. The scriptures open up in Genesis 1 of God's power to create and all his words. I mean, think about it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's how God introduces the Bible. You know, you may say, oh, what a dumb way. Dumb. God just established the fact that you're smart enough to figure out there's a God. Amen? And you know there's a God. How do you know? By creation. By the heavens. So God tells us that there's a God. Think of God's power to create, sustain the universe. He cares for the solar system and for the stars, the flowers of the field, the grass. He says, again, to cast all your care upon the Lord. Why? Because he cares about you. Now, he's not saying that to the lost. You know, you're in trouble with God right now. You know, you're separated from God. You're not right with God. You've offended God. But to the saved, he cares so much about us. Amen. Praise the Lord. He loves us. So nothing is impossible for God. All things are possible if you believe. God is able. And God wants you to know that. And then he tells also, he enlightens us about the plan of God. The plan of God is to save all men. Go back to John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. And notice, please, verse 15. The Bible says that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I mean, that's the idea that God wants you to have, is that he loves you and he wants to save you. Look, you're condemned already, but you don't have to be. Second of all, he secures the saved. I want you to see this in 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter chapter 1. And notice verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, there's a hope there. A lively hope. And God goes on and says, to an inheritance. Now listen, this is what's in store for us. Incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Look, if God told us to hang on to, we lose it with the keys and our shoes. But God doesn't say that to us. He said it's reserved in heaven for you. Then that tells me something. I not only do I have a reservation there, but I'm going to go there one day. Amen? And so he goes on and says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Notice 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, please. And we'll pick up here in verse 10. And the Bible tells us in verse 10, He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. That's one thing you don't want to do, beloved. You don't want to say that God's a liar. I can't trust him. I can't believe him. You can't do that. Because you believe not the record that God gave his Son. So God's given his record, and this is the record. That God hath given us to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So salvation is a no-so salvation. And then third of all, he sanctifies the saved. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. In 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither things are in the world. In 1 Peter 1:16, because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And then he supplies the needs of the saved. And God willingly does that in Matthew 6. He said, I promise you, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Second of all, we see God's word enables our spirituality. It enables. Let's go back to our text, 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Are you with me today?
Amen.
Oh, thank you so much. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And the Bible tells us here in verse 16, again, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine. So God wants you to know what to believe. You know, people have said that it just really baffles me. They don't know the Lord. That's why they do it. But people say, well, look, I know about doctrines. So I just believe in God. Well, that's not good enough. God wants you to know what to believe. Now, think about this book, 66 book. And God says, well, you don't worry about that. I just want you to believe in me. He gave us a book on what to believe, on how to believe. What does the Bible say? So important. So we find here that not only is it doctrine, but notice reproof, correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Now, why does God say that? Because God wants us to be different. God wants us to change. God wants us to be like Jesus. He wants us to develop. So God's word reproves wrong thinking. So important here that the Bible says you want to renew your minds. Why? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So it's important that God wants you to think right. And so how do you do it? You've got to renew your minds. How many were raised with God's attributes, believing God's attributes? How many people believe in those things? No one. Very few. We weren't raised with the idea that God's holy, that God's all-powerful, God's immutable. God's omniscient, omnipresent. Most people weren't raised with that. That they may have known an attribute, but it was wrong. And so God wants us to think right. Wrong thinking about God and his word. Not trusting him. Not living by faith. Not walking the spirit. Walking rather in the flesh. So God wants that to be corrected. He wants to be spirit-filled Christians. He wants us to be under the control of the Spirit of God. Again, the teaching, the Word of God, especially Ephesians, is such a wonderful teaching for the child of God. God tells us that we're to walk in the Spirit. Notice, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 4 here, the Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where you're called. And how's that? With all lowliness, meekness, with long suffering, bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of bond of peace. So Paul is telling us here, look, I want you to walk worthy of vocation. Now, how do you do it, Paul? He tells in verse 2 and 3, endeavoring to keep the spirit, the unity of the spirit of bond of peace. Then he goes on and mentions the seven ones, what we're to believe. He tells us here in chapter 5, Back up a little bit. It tells us in chapter 4 how we're to walk. We're not to live according to the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The idea of I've got to have a new way of thinking, a new thought process. He tells us to put on the new man, put away lying, speak every man truth, be angry, sin not, neither give place to the devil, let him that stole steal no more. So God is saying, no corrupt communication, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you seal until the day of redemption. So we find here again the importance of walking the Spirit in chapter 5 and verse 18, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And speaking yourself in psalms, hymn, spiritual song, make melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto the Father, unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit yourself one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself to the other. Husband, love your wives. All this stuff, beloved, comes from the Spirit-filled life. And how important it is that we learn to walk in the Spirit. Notice back in Galatians chapter 4, please. Galatians chapter 4, or 5 rather. Galatians 5. And the Bible says in verse 13, brethren, we have not have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. See, we're to serve. That's what love does. It causes us to serve one another. Serve where? In the family, in the house of God, in society. And notice, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not on the law. So God stressed the importance of walking, of obeying, of submitting, of yielding, of dying of self to the Lord. And then God's word writes wrong thinking. Notice, if you would, back in Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter, and again, it deals with right thinking here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Now, how do you do that? Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is in to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance. So again, the idea is how God wants us to gird up your loins of your mind, your thought process. You need to think right. You know what's not a good thing to do is being not only being a skeptic, but speculating. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do it. And I know that, you know, it's part of the human condition. But we need to think right. Oh, so-and-so is mad at me. How do you know? Did you ask him? No. Could be wrong. They could have had their minds on something else. That family's against me. Did you ask him? No. How do you know these things, beloved? So important to communicate and to speak to one another and not to speculate. Are you with me? Amen. All right, so again, we need to allow the Word of God to, you know, have an effect in life. John 8:44, the Bible says that Satan was a liar from the beginning. That's what he did. He lies. What are the fiery darts? They're lies. They're lies. Don't believe a lie. Act on facts. Let God renew your mind. Challenge your thoughts. Check your thoughts. Choose your thoughts. And then change your thoughts. And how do you change it? By the Word of God. You've got to allow the Word of God to have a part in your life. Now let's go back. We're going to look at this last thing. The third thing. God's Word equips us in ministry. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, all good works. So God is allowing the man of God to be truly furnished all good works. So how does he do that? Let's go back to Ephesians. We'll close Ephesians chapter 4, please. And we'll close with some verse here. Notice Ephesians 4, verse 17. And the Bible tells us, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds." So again, you need to understand what it is when the Bible says the vanity, the emptiness. And that's what the world does. Do you think there are many people who really take life serious? No. Just want to have fun. But life is not fun. It can have fun in it, but there's a serious side. There's a sober side. One thing for sure is that we're eternally bound. So what do you want to do? Well, I want to be prepared to go. Well, that's good. I want to make sure that I have I'm doing the right thing so God will reward me on the other side. That's good. I want to make sure I'm living right. That's good. That's what you have to do. You got to take that serious. So Paul goes on and says in verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. So the idea is this, is that, you know, when you give yourself over to the world system, the world's, you know, media, you wind up really causing yourself a lot of problems. The Bible says in verse 20, the Bible says, "But ye have not so learned Christ. This will be that you've heard him and have been taught by him, and the truth is in Jesus." Now, I have to tell you, one of the worst things to do is be in a Bible-believing church and not get saved. It's so important for you to come to Christ. Not to be neutral, but be proactive. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. God wants you to be saved. I hear people tell me all the time, "Well, God spoke my mind. What do you think he spoke to your heart about? You need to be saved. You're thinking, you're boasting about tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to be here. I just heard of a person who, let me just think what happened. How they died. The most unusual thing. When you get old like me, you just forget things. But it was a good illustration. What the problem is, as I'm done praying and I'm walking off the platform, I'll remember. Turn around, wait, one more. It was crazy what happened, how they died. Oh, I can't remember. I'll save it another time. All right, chapter 4, notice verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The importance of allowing the word of God to have an effect, to be able to trust God, to believe God, to serve God. It's so important, beloved, to have the right mentality. And then not only in our person, but also our practice. Notice verse 25. The Bible tells us, "Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another." Verse 26, "Be anxious not, neither give place to the devil." I know I went through this the other day, early in the sermon. But I want you to see this. Notice, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you seal it in the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And I tell you, that's one of the keys of a healthy life, is the important way to put away anger, bitterness, hard feelings. You want to renew your mind? That's what the Bible says. Let it go. You say, "Well, they hurt me bad." I don't doubt that. I believe you. I believe the experience you had was bad. I believe that the result of it was bad, but You've got to let it go. You've got to forgive people. Otherwise, you're not going to be forgiven. That's important to understand. You're going to reap what you sow. And you know, who of us can stand and say, I don't need to be forgiven? Oh, you do. I did. Everyone does. So that's why it's so important to let things go. People may forfeit things. You may not be as close as you once were. But it's so important to forgive people and get that right with that person. And not allow bitterness, the wrath, the anger, all these things to be in your heart. It's not healthy. It's gonna trouble you. So what does God say about thinking right? It's so important, beloved, to have a biblical mindset. It's so important for you to really think according to what the Bible says. You forgive people. You're to be kind to people. You're to be thoughtful to people. You're to put yourself in their shoes. You know, you ever think about what a pastor goes through? You ever think about what a businessman goes through? What a wife goes through? You need to think about others and consider the story from their side. Amen. And that's all part of thinking right, beloved. So important to have your head on straight, to really consider, you know, the way God wants us to think. And then what happens is it changes your life. There's things that you enjoy that you never enjoyed before because you weren't thinking right. And so I trust that's been a blessing to you, and I hope it helps you and so on. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and thank God for this time. Our Father, thank you so much for this time, for the Word of God. And Father, I pray that we make a new commitment for those who are not in the Bible on a regular basis. I pray that we make a commitment to read the Bible, to study the Bible, to memorize the Bible, to meditate on the Bible, that we might become everything you want us to be. I pray for the lost, that they would search the Scriptures daily, just like the Bereans did, that they might know you. Pray, Father, for those of us who are saved, that we might allow the Word of God to have a part in our lives, a major part. And that we allow the Word of God to transform us, to renew us. I pray, Father, that you bless our church. I pray there be a new commitment to the Word of God and help us to study and show ourselves approved unto God, of workmen that need to not be ashamed, rightly divine the Word of truth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around.